Hi, and welcome to the Cancer Horizons podcast. Each week, we talk with patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, or healthcare professionals and do what CURE does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. With recent research demonstrating that antibodies were not detected in some patients with B-cell blood cancers after receiving two doses of the COVID-19 vaccine, many people have questions. Will a third dose help these patients? Should they bother with the vaccine? How do their current cancer treatments impact the vaccine's effectiveness? Dr. Larry Saltzman, the Executive Research Director at the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, answered these questions and more in this episode of the Cancer Horizons podcast.
So with regards to the study that you and your team recently put out with regards to a third dose of the COVID-19 vaccine for patients, specific patients who have blood cancers, why do you think it was so important to conduct that study?
Well, we think it's important because in our first read of the data, we've been doing this study, if you will, on COVID vaccine response for blood cancer patients since March of this year. And what we found in analyzing the data of now thousands of patients is that 25% of people with blood cancers did not have an initial response to the first vaccine doses. And that would mean two doses of an mRNA vaccine or a single dose of Johnson & Johnson. And the CDC in August, middle of August, did recommend that people who are immune compromised, which includes blood cancer patients, should have an additional dose of vaccine to see if, you know, by that boost, if you will, to bring more people into a response. And so our ongoing project in this case was to follow patients who have had that additional dose to see if they responded. It's very important because we want people to be safe and guarded from COVID. I think it's no secret that the initial studies with hospitalized patients showed that blood cancer patients were especially susceptible, with over 50% of blood cancer patients who were in ICUs died of COVID. That's way above the average. So we're very sensitized to what's happening and how we can protect our constituency.
So let's take a step back real quick. And why is it in particular do patients with B-cell derived blood cancers not have as strong of a response to the two doses of the COVID-19 vaccine as compared with other patients?
Sure. So if you look into how our bodies respond to any infection with regard to whether they've had a vaccine or whether they've been, you know, exposed to a cold or a flu or any kind of virus, there are three components of immunity in the human body. And one component is what's referred to as cellular immunity, which is, let's say you have a sore arm from a shot or a fever. Essentially, that's cellular immunity. When a shot goes into your arm and you get a soreness or a redness to the arm, that's the body reacting to the foreign substance. That's cellular immunity. The second type of immunity is called T-cell immunity. T-cells are part of our white blood cell immune system that are killer cells that go and attack the particular foreign compound that comes into our body, and we need T-cells. And then the third component, which is getting to your question, is B-cells, which create antibodies that float around and target these foreign substances. And it's pretty much antibodies that, if you will, cover the surfaces of a foreign virus, in this case, coronavirus. And once they've covered that, the T cells and macrophages and other parts of our defense go and say, okay, I'm going to blow them up and get rid of them. And so in blood cancer patients who have an affected B-cell type of leukemia or lymphoma, and these can include chronic lymphocytic leukemias, they can include follicular lymphomas. There's a whole subset of B-cell blood cancers. In patients with these illnesses, their B cells are not functioning. So if B cells don't function and we provide a vaccine, let's say, to patients, it's likely that they're not going to create antibodies because their B cells are not working to create that kind of response. So we're very sensitized to this.
So let's jump back into the topic of your study. So what would you say are some of the major takeaways from it?
Right. So again, there are two components to the study. The first part was just in general, do blood cancer patients respond to the vaccine? And 75% of patients have a response, and some have a very good response. So if a person has a precursor, let's say, to myeloma or multiple myeloma, and that precursor is called smoldering myeloma, we found that 100% of these patients respond to the vaccine. It's very good. On the other end of the spectrum, we find that if a person has a leukemia or lymphoma and is under treatment for that, and the treatment is called an anti-B cell treatment, and there's certain types of those, but in one case it's a antibody like treatment or an anti-B cell treatment, and there's a classic drug called rituximab, let's say, those people on these treatments, a majority of them, 75% of them, will not respond to the vaccine. So there's two swings of the pendulum. Those who will respond in a global, very good way, not to worry, essentially, and those that will not respond due to the treatments that they're on. And having said that, we also find that you had mentioned and asked me about B-cell blood cancers. Those who have B-cell blood cancers, as an example, chronic lymphocytic leukemia, even if those patients are on no treatment at all because their B-cells are not working, we find that a percentage of those people, up to 20%, will not respond to the vaccine just because of their disease. It gets kind of complicated because we have to break it down a little bit by type of blood cancer and type of treatment. But in the end, we find that probably anybody with a blood cancer where their white blood cells are not as normal as they could be have to be careful about this. And so LLS has kind of taken up a motto, if you will, or a mantra that says, you know, get vaccinated, but act unvaccinated.
That's a very important takeaway. So you mentioned that patients who are undergoing treatment with anti-B cell treatment, sometimes there's a good chance that they may not respond to the vaccine. Is that a long-term effect, or is it one of those things where they stop treatment, that effect will go away, they could get vaccinated? Is there?
That's a very good question. We do believe in looking at this that the effects of these drugs do wean away or wear off over time, although it takes some time. So these drugs that I mentioned, like rituximab, or there's another one called obinutuzumab, they are pretty long-lasting. And so it seems in our research of this and the results we're looking at that it may be 6 or 12 months until these drugs wear off to where a person will respond to this COVID-19 vaccine, and it could be even longer. We're also seeing that the same applies, but to a lesser degree, to some targeted drugs. An example would be in a category called BTK inhibitors, and one drug in that class is called ibrutinib, as an example, is a fairly well-used common drug now for blood cancers. And we find that those will also wear off, but again, probably going to take months for that to happen. Now, having said that, our view is that we do not recommend any patient holding back their treatment to receive a vaccine because we're worried, and I am a CLL patient myself, and I would be worried that by withholding treatment, one could trigger a relapse. If somebody is in remission or their blood cancer is being controlled with these treatments. And as in any kind of cancer, it's always harder to treat a relapse or a second occurrence than it is to treat the initial occurrence. And so everybody needs to talk to their physician, of course, or their oncology team about what to do. Our advice is we would not want to put off therapy if it's indicated only to get a vaccine, because we don't know really how long it's going to take for the body to recover from the therapy to respond to the vaccine. And we just don't want to risk any recurrence. I, as I said, am a CLL patient, and my view of this pandemic and my life is that I would rather be in remission from blood cancer and shield myself from COVID than to have a vaccine response to COVID, which I still may get a breakthrough infection because the Delta variant is very contagious. I don't want to just shield myself from COVID, but risk my relapse of a blood cancer. I hope that's kind of clear. So, you know, we have to prioritize, right? Which we'd rather be. And I would rather be in remission. Although my lifestyle is, of course, living in a bubble, right? And more restricted, but I would rather be like that.
So you mentioned speaking with your oncology team, your physician, so forth and so on. So is it fair to say that everyone with a certain type of blood cancer should talk with their team to see whether they should get an additional dose, whether they should not? How should patients go about that conversation?
You know, I think it's imperative they talk to their doctors. There is so much information going on around this that it's very hard to keep up with all the science. I mean, I admit, and, you know, and we as LLS are looked at as a trusted source. So we get a lot of questions from people saying, what should we do? But we as LLS and me as the executive research director, we're not a clinician treating patients. We don't have access to their medical record, and we don't know exactly what other medical conditions they may have, hypertension, diabetes, rheumatoid arthritis, who knows? I mean, how many diagnoses people could have. So we really can't ourselves give any medical advice. We can advise what our research is showing, but patients really need to talk to their medical teams. And if the medical teams themselves need updated information on where the science is, we're happy to talk to them. We just can't give exact advice to people.
So this might go into the same realm. So if it does, I apologize. Obviously, it goes without saying that there's a lot of vaccination hesitancy. And if people see that, you know, someone gets two doses of the vaccine, it doesn't have the response, let's say, you know, in some patients, what would you tell those people who think, you know what, it doesn't work for anyone? What's the point?
I'm going to answer this on going down two different paths. On one path, our study has looked at the side effects of vaccines in blood cancer patients as compared to the side effects of vaccines as published by the manufacturers of the vaccines in normal healthy adults. And our patients' side effects are very similar to what the vaccine trials on normal healthy adults would look like. There's a certain number of people who have a sore arm or redness or a fever or fatigue, and our responses pretty much parallel what the vaccine manufacturers have reported. Certainly no worse. And we don't have any clear-cut evidence that getting a vaccine will affect the blood cancer. So in that case, we think everyone should have a vaccine. As far as people who don't have a response, the truth is, as I said, we're only measuring, and it's only simple to measure the antibody response, which is one of three that I discussed. And so we can't say for certainty that just because somebody didn't produce antibodies to the sensitivity that the test allows, if the test had a greater sensitivity, we may find some. We can't say for certain that it didn't work. I think everybody should get a shot. Now, going down the second avenue of the answer to the question, in our booster study, we found that over 50% of people who did not have a response to the initial vaccines did have a response to the booster. So even though somebody may say, well, the first two don't do anything, we're finding a majority of people who have the third dose do have a response. And again, it's only really tempered by the treatments that they're on, as I already mentioned. So I don't see any reason why any patient shouldn't get the vaccine, there really is only one reason that I will, you know, just to be clear. If a patient is undergoing treatment that involves a bone marrow transplant, then those patients who were involved in that due to the transplant really shouldn't be vaccinated for anything within the first 3 months of their transplant. And they need to talk to their clinicians who are very sensitive and clear on this. And so, you know, that's one case or one example where we would say, well, if you're getting a bone marrow transplant within the first few months, no, you shouldn't get a vaccine. You know, I really want to promote blood cancer patients getting vaccines, and I want to promote everybody getting vaccines. I mean, on a personal note, I get very aggravated about hearing of all the people who don't want to be vaccinated. And I just don't understand it. And in the public health sense of herd immunity, you know, we're trying to vaccinate everybody so that people who are more susceptible, like immune compromised patients, have protection because everyone around them is taken care of. But if we don't get to that point, we're just all spinning our wheels. So I just want to, you know, promote that for a public health issue, there are very few reasons not to do this.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cancer Horizons podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cancer Horizons podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @curemagazine.